Here. So this is Chris Gould on Monday, April 9, 2012, and I'm interviewing Wade Johnson at Starbucks in Auburn. So, Wade, when did you start becoming interested in the outdoors?
Kid.
As a child?
Yeah, my dad. Take hunting, fishing.
Okay. So what was your childhood like? Was it?
I have six sisters, so, you know, I never got to watch combat on TV. We only had one TV, you know. You got voted down anything that wasn't, you know, Mickey Mouse or Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time outside. And it's the change is, you know, you play till dark. Mm-hmm. No one worried about you being abducted or what you did. We had a creek in the backyard, so a lot of time spent, you know, on or near the water. And a lot of areas that were not developed. So, you know, as kids, you think I had a BB gun when I was 7 or 8. Most of the kids in the neighborhood did. We all survived. So, yeah, you know, Little League baseball, that kind of stuff. It's pretty, you know. Pretty easy life, really.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So how did you become involved in the fishing game department?
I was game, before I was a game warden, I was a cop at Oroville.
Okay.
And our police department was on the levee on the Feather River. Mm-hmm. And Terry Hodges was a lieutenant there, lived about 5 minutes away. And I worked night shift 7 till 3 in the morning. So every time I'd come into work, go back to the office, I'd shut the lights off on the car and go along the river, and if we saw someone in the closure snagging salmon or something, dispatch would call Terry and he'd go to the other side of the river, and I'd turn on the alley lights and tell them they were under arrest, walk to the light, which they immediately turn around and ran the other way right into Terry's arms. So it was just a lot of fun. We only had one guy ever walk to the light.
Okay.
So that's really kind of, they got me interested.
Okay.
I was actually looking to go on highway patrol, and they said, oh, no, no, you got to come play with us. So
okay.
That's where it really got it going.
So, did you have to go through a training, like, to do the fishing game warden?
Well, I'd already went to the police academy.
Okay. And so what was the academy like? Was it?
It's standard police academy for, as a cop at Oroville, you know, regular police at Butte College.
Okay.
10th basic or 9th basic, I don't remember now, class. There are over 100 of them now.
Okay.
So, when I went on the fishing game, I had to go a 2-week class down in Modesto to catch up on the fishing game laws.
On the fishing game laws? Okay. All right, cool. So, how would you, how does the work of the warden of fish game, does it fit into law enforcement generally? How would you say it fits into the law enforcement?
Well, you're doing it, you are doing law enforcement. It's on a little different level.
Okay.
Probably 95% of my career worked alone. You know, you work your own hours basically for the most part. So you work a lot of nights, mm-hmm. You work all weekends, Christmas, you know, all the holidays, because that's when people are also off and out there, you know, dinging around the wildlife. So, and it just, it, the later years, in fact, got a little bit more tedious with narcotics, a lot more narcotics. Meth is such a prevalent drug that it just seems like, you know, guy's fishing, he doesn't have identification, you know, you pat him down and there's meth in his pocket. So now it's a felony and it's, and you just end up in court more,
right.
That kind of stuff. It got to be a pain.
Yeah.
It really did. I mean, to the point, like, you know, marijuana, you find a guy out there with just a touch, you just threw it in the wind.
Okay.
And nothing was going to happen to him anyway.
It's
right. Kind of like, okay, here's your warning. You know, go get your medicinal card and go away, you know, kind of thing. So, but I mean, there's stopped quite a few drunk drivers, you know, things, obvious things in front of you that,
okay.
You know, you're related, and you either make the arrest or you can stand by. Policy was you contacted the local authority, like, you know, here it'd be Placer County Sheriff's.
Okay.
And if they had a unit available, they'd come get him. And if they didn't, then you just, you took it from A to Z.
Oh, so you could actually issue a ticket? And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Book them. You know, they got outstanding warrants. You just take them to jail.
Okay.
All that stuff. But yeah, you, which is, like at Oroville, when you had a, you made an arrest, pretty good case, then it usually went to the detectives and they did all the follow-up. Then it would go to the, there we had a detective secretary. She got it all ready for the DA and then went to court that way. We're fishing game, you do it all. You do the follow-up interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Run your leads as best you can until they're done. You put it all together and then you get it to the district attorney and go from there.
So, can you describe a warden's jurisdiction? Is it per county or?
No, state.
It's state.
The state of California. Yeah, we're also federally deputized too. That gets a lot on with the Migratory Bird Act and things like that. Duck season, they're all federally regulated, so. Lacey Act is, you know, one of the ones you use a lot, and it's a dandy because you cross state lines and then you take an illegal, it's up to $20,000 fine.
Okay.
So that one usually gets people's attention. So, no matter who you are.
So the boundaries and state lines, you can go beyond them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much, I mean, they want you to stay where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But we've worked cases, yeah, I mean, we've, you know, you follow like sturgeon eggs and stuff, following from here to the state of Washington, people that are selling them. And, you know, if taken, you know, illegally or being sold, you can't sell anything sport caught anyway.
Right.
So you've got Lacey Act violations as soon as they cross the state line. And so your problem with that is we never had enough people to follow those, that kind of thing. We really needed more commercial wardens that did it for people that are making a living off of it, like abalone.
Yeah.
The guy in uniform over there, he makes a lot of cases. He works hard, but, you know, you're getting the guy with an over limit. That's all you have. Where a commercial guy can follow him.
Huh.
But you may need, you know, how many cars do you follow somebody with if they live in Oakland from like Fort Bragg?
Yeah.
You may need 10 undercover cars to just keep following them, because then usually you get involved with, they're going to markets, mm-hmm. or they're going to restaurants. They're picking up other apps from other people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, one guy in uniform is not going to be able to do that.
Right.
So that was always a frustrating part. You always got just a tip of something and you felt like, oh man.
Yeah.
If we had the resources, I know this is going, you know, and they're, like I said, they're making a living off the wildlife.
Right.
So.
Okay, so can you describe a typical day?
it just depends on the time of year. Like this time of year right now, typical day, you'd be up, 4 in the morning, going out looking for turkey hunters probably.
Okay.
And then, you know, some days you don't find anybody. You're the only one out there, so who's the turkey? Let's get it. Oh, crap, here I am, spent all morning hiking around. But it's, the other thing is, then you get back to your rig, and then you may have head. Like for me, I work in the valley floor,
okay.
down to the Sutter County line, all the way up the Pacific Crest Trail.
Okay.
So from there, I'd go up. Like a day is warm today, I'd go up and look for people fishing the trout streams closed.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. And then you're on your way. You're checking lakes for fishermen, just regular guys fishing licenses and stuff. So.
And just checking licenses.
Yeah. Sure. How many fish you got? And, you know, those are the things that. They're a little time consuming, you know, you get walking the shoreline of lakes and stuff, but you get a lot of good information from those people.
Yeah.
You find about 95% of the people are pretty good people.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the guys in the yellow truck, every Friday night they drink beer and throw all their bottles in the lake. Just simple things like that. So next Friday, that's where you are. And you let these guys leave with their pieces of paper.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So do you think that you get a lot of community support in handing out cards, and is that how you get a lot of your leads?
No, I never really handed out a lot of cards.
Okay.
Most of them, the people you end up meeting, you've got more time to talk to them.
Okay.
Like when I was at Oroville, you pull somebody over for, you know, speeding violation, driver's license, registration, please, you know, here's your ticket, here's your court date, see you later, that's it. Even writing tickets, fishing game, Christ, over half the people I wrote thanked me. Oh, I'm really sorry, I should have done this, should have done that.
Huh.
That whole time you're talking.
Huh.
And, you know, most of your contacts are not violations.
Huh.
So then you tell people, hey, well, I'm here, you know, this is there. If you get something or hear something, call the CalTIP line.
Okay.
Because no matter who's around, we got somebody anywhere close, you know, we'll get someone on it.
Okay.
And ranchers and farmers like that, they usually got your home number, so. They would call, but that's changing too, because it's later years here, like in Placer County, with some of the old guys dying off, the kids getting the ranches and farms. You know, they're scratching, making a living every year. Well, they're turning around and just selling it.
Oh.
So those farms are now, you know, housing tracts.
Right.
That's the biggest change I think I saw is population density.
Okay.
Even in the hills. I mean, you know, you nice mountain, and you go up there, now there's 7 homes on it.
Right. How does that affect the wildlife? Do you think that makes
big effects.
Huge effect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's in all wildlife. It's, you know, everyone likes to focus. Well, what does it do to the deer?
Right.
Well, if you could close, if people wanted to end the deer deal, you close Highway 49, Highway 20, Highway 80.
Mm-hmm.
We kill, you know, thousands of deers over the years.
Yeah.
And bears. I mean, you know, sometimes we'll lose 30 bears a year on 80.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you're not even counting all the little, what is it, a ground squirrel, a skunk, mm-hmm. you know, that get hit. And that's not going to end.
Right.
But there's ways to do it. You look like with parts of Idaho and stuff. They built all these wildlife corridors under the roads.
Huh.
You know, basically a tunnel. But, I mean, they put cameras in them. They've got raccoons, mountain lions, deer, bear, everything uses them.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so it can be done. And, of course, I think it always comes down to money.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we've done a couple up. I think they put one up there at 89.
Oh, cool.
And they're watching tons of critters go through it.
Huh.
So, which is a lot better than the gray spot on the road.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, would you consider yourself an outdoorsman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you like to hunt and fish?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're going to do turkey hunting?
Yeah. In fact, we went the last 4 days.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Took today off. Slept in so I come talk to you.
Slept in.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So would you consider yourself an environmentalist or conservationist? Or?
I think you have to divine, when you say environmentalist, what do you mean? Do I want people dumping oil in the river?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. You know, I'm really a common sense.
Yeah.
When I look at a lot of this, and I always feel that if you can go out and meet most of these people, and the problems I had were like stream beds were one of the main ones. People wanted to alter creeks and things. Well, if you change the creek this way and get one more lot on the property and sell it.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Well, that's great, but you took a meandering stream to a straight stream, and now the velocity of the water is eating the banks of the guy downstream, and we have all the silt we never had before, so how many thousands of bugs did you kill? And that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get into that.
Yeah.
I don't, and it's, some of it is ignorance. I mean, they just don't understand the whole deal of it. But at this point in time, I think the ignorance part's kind of gotten in the way. We have enough in the papers and stuff that people know you can't dump concrete in the water.
Right.
You know, that, but people do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had a project on 80 where they grind up the old concrete and they ran it down here to a storm drain and went right in the Auburn Ravine, which we have, you know, salmon, steelhead, trout, kill them in the creek. It's like, it's the highway project.
Yeah.
Can't tell me you guys, someone, the company or the Caltrans didn't have somebody that would say, hey,
right, yeah.
Grind up that concrete, pour it in the water, what do you think, you know? So,
that
gets kind of frustrating. And I guess that's why I have laws why you can't shoot people. Because that's what you feel like. Well, you didn't know. I didn't know I couldn't shoot you. You know, you idiot. But yeah, and then some of that goes right up to bosses.
Huh.
You know, you talk to, okay, well, who's your boss? Oh, I didn't know we couldn't do that. Well, who's your boss? Oh, I didn't know we couldn't do that. It's just like, where you people live?
Yeah.
Yeah, glass bubble house or something. But yeah, that's so. I'm environmentalist. I'm more of a probably conservationist. I think. Yeah. I think we got to do something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to, when they put a car counter on the highway, 30,000 cars go by in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what, the air pollution, all that. And, you know, the other thing, you turn around and go, look at Mother Earth.
Have you seen a big change from when you started as a warden until when you retired as far as just kind of things?
We got a lot more into the pollution in.
Okay.
And I honestly think there's two reasons. One is that, I mean, it's really nasty.
Right.
You know, you get oil companies spilling a bunch of oil, stuff going in the waterways. It kills all. I mean, people always see the oily birds, but you know, just killed out how many cycles of bugs that those oily birds can't eat, and the small fish are dead that can't eat. You know, the frog stuff, you know, polywogs can't get to the surface to breathe. So, I mean, you kill a ton of things. But I always felt towards the end of the career we were in it because there's a lot of money in it.
Huh.
Well, you know, one of the deals, we had a railroad up here, they lost 17,000 gallons of diesel. Well, it went under 22 feet of snow. It's February up here by Norton. And, you know, they paid to have backhoes and trenchers brought in. You get under that snow, we couldn't find any diesel. So you got enough water there that it's breaking up enough that it's wherever it goes, it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not, you lay your little strip down, it's clean as that paper, you're going, You know, they admitted that, hey, we got a mistake here. You know, and we're taking responsibility. One of the things was, you know, you take $1.5 million to settle this? It pays for our biologists, both water quality and big game, to come for the next 3 years, check the meadows, and, you know, look for any residue that's left over stuff. And then, you know, one of our people said, no, we're going to get a lot more. Well, it finally settled out for $400,000. And they wanted to write us a check. The Union Pacific, here's a check for $1.5 million. We want to go away.
Yeah.
We want you to finish it. So the argument is, well, what if we really find something big that happened?
Right.
Well, put a clause in there. If we find, you know, some huge pocket of diesel somewhere, but we never did, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, some of the spills in the Delta, geez, they're into, you know, 40 million or something for cleanup stuff. So sometimes I get a feel that we're more into the looking at the financial end, like, ooh, that's a lot of money we can get. And instead of, well, let's get it all cleaned up. I mean, sometimes it's stupid, you know, I mean, but you got people, you're going to have stupid, you know, you just can't fix stupid, as they say.
Uh-huh.
But it, number one, let's get it all cleaned up, get it out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's number one. Restore it the best you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a case in Butte County. I lost it on a guy digging up a creek. And you're looking at long term, you know, and you're going, okay, well, you have this and that. Well, his attorney was really good. He brought in pictures of Hiroshima, World War II. You recognize that? And of course, not really. You know, never been there. And you go, well, that's Hiroshima. You recognize this? Well, here it is today. booming cherry trees bloom, full bloom, you know, houses, buildings. Huh. He says, well, no, so that, would you say that did a lot of damage? Yeah. You know, is it fixed? Well, appears to be, but, you know, I mean, that's the kind, and that's, and he had a pretty good argument.
That it can rejuvenate, it takes time, though.
Mother Nature takes care of herself. Yeah, man usually butt out. Mother Nature does pretty good, you know, so.
But with the population growth, is it possible to start butting out, or do you think it's going to start?
Well, I mean, look at China.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a country in trouble. I mean, green-wise, they've dammed those rivers and everything. Now they're having problems where they used to hold, you know, a billion cubic feet of water. Now they're holding a couple hundred thousand because of the silt.
Yeah.
How do you say, what do you do with the silt? You got to open up the bottom of those dams, but you got a whole line of dams that are all filled with silt. So, you know, so the long-term there was not there. Mm-hmm. Well, they're putting their, what, a coal manufacturing plant every 10 days online or something like that. So what you do to your air pollution?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like the Olympics, and you know, when he went over there, they got rid of all the bicycles in town, put wanted everybody in cars because they wanted to look modern. But some of those photos, you couldn't look across the street and see the buildings, you know? So it's, yeah, we're not anywhere near China. I mean, that kind of thing, but you know, we don't have the population.
Right.
What, California, 39 million? Something like that, you know?
Growing.
Counting the illegals, yeah, maybe 40. Yeah, you never know, but I mean, you know, but a lot of ours are still concentrated, the L.A. Basin, the San Francisco Basin. You get up in this country, I mean, I can still get lost in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Forest Service, that kind of stuff, so. Yeah, you know, it's, I don't think it's a fine line like people want to say. I think it's a pretty broad line that you can, common sense once again, but it, I look at a lot of that too, if it was always fine money. You're gonna get, you know, okay, if you find the railroad $1 million, okay, so every TV they ship just went up 3 cents.
Huh.
You know, every refrigerator just went up a nickel. They don't care. I mean, yeah, our freight just increased. Now, if you take the head of the railroad to prison, you know, and spend the next 3 years, you know, with a roommate you're going to get real close with. Yeah, you know, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't. We just take the money.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, that would be too, it's just too simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're, who signed off? Someone signed off on this. You and I are working on a project here, and it's a $1 million project. One of us has a boss.
Right.
So the boss is going to look it over, and then, you know, someone else is going to look it over. Somewhere the boss line stops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this is a huge violation, and they knew it all the way up, top guy goes.
Huh.
Put him in jail.
Nice.
Yeah. Take the money. You bet. Find him, Jesus, and then put him in jail.
Huh.
And, you know, that's, I think, the only way you'll ever change.
Right.
It's, but yeah, I mean, you know, people are more aware. I mean, honestly, when I came on Fish and Game, I didn't know what a stream bed alteration was.
Right.
Why do I care? You know, I want to go check guys shooting Bambi.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's a big deal. And when you look down, I mean, all of us, that I, all the wardens I knew anyway, you'd love to go up on the hill and ride a guy for 10 fish over the limit. It's like, oh, this is a good week, you know. Bango, got him. Guy puts a tractor in the creek, he might have just killed 10,000.
Yeah. So you think your appreciation of wildlife and just the ecosystem gradually changed a little bit?
Knowing
more about it?
Yeah, it's just more knowledge. It's, you know, when you go into it, when I was working up, like the guys up in Butte County, when I first started, it was mostly all salmon in the river.
Mm-hmm.
That was just fun. Rivers closed, they go out there at night, you run them down, tackle them in the water. I mean, it's great fun. Especially when you're young, you know, you heal better.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, this is great. I can do this forever.
Right.
But then you get into it and you get to a more rural area. You know, it's great. And then you get to the cities, it's like another pollution call. Ah, crap, you know. And that's what you start to, because you know, it's long drawn out, and usually get a little bit of money at the end, and that's it. That's what I was felt about it. And it's just kind of like, oh no, you know, it's going to, and the other way you look at it, next 3 days, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
all I'm going to be doing is taking samples, taking them to the lab, you know, and all that stuff. So it's one of those things that you have to get a mindset change. Just like I said, a guy in a bulldozer may kill, you know, 10,000 eggs and fish and everything. But you still have that urge to go right that over limit, 10 fish over the limit ticket. You're like, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's just a natural.
Yeah.
As you get older, too.
Yeah.
You kind of, okay, let's look at the whole picture a little bit more. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So what was one of your most unusual experiences on the job?
Oh, not my honeymoon?
Well, that's another topic.
Yeah, that's farm animals. You don't want to know. I think some of the more different, we had a case in Nevada County where a guy, I think he purchased 20,000 channel catfish, and went up on his own, started putting them in ponds, and dumped 2/3 of them into Upper Scotts Reservoir. Backed his truck up on the ramp, people all around. He just kind of stand there when everybody wasn't looking, he'd start dumping buckets of these little, you know, black catfish in the water.
Huh.
That was, it was, So we got the license plate, tried to run him down, but he had the shipment sent to his sister, and of course talked to his sister, and she's, what? He did what? You know? So, you know, we had to go contact the company from Georgia who shipped them. And your big concern there is, are they disease-free?
Right.
Because he may just have diseased, you know, killed everything. And it's funny because, I mean, in his heart, he wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I want to catch catfish. There's already catfish there.
So, I mean, you know, so he was putting them in to catch them later on?
Oh, yeah. He wanted them grow in a couple of years to go fishing. It's kind of like the pike at Lake Davis. You know, guy likes to catch northern pike, so I'm just going to plant them there. So those are the ones you kind of laugh back now. I mean, you know, some individual cases, and Jim Randall, the warden of Forest Hill, we got a spotlighter one night. And, you know, that's where they're looking for deer.
Okay.
And we head-on stop's the best ones because they can't go anywhere. You blind them with all your lights. Well, we both jump out, you know, stick your head in the window trying to get a loaded gun. We already got them spotlighting. It's a major, major one. And later we thought, well, that was dumb. I mean, you know, we ran up, put your heads in the window, it was a training thing. How they both got killed, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy was unloading the pistol.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So he was shooting deer, spotlighting with the
looking
pistol?
He also had a shotgun, and there were slugs, but yeah. But that afterward, you know, you think, okay, that was, you know, we need to work on it. And this is, we've been on quite a while. But you get caught up in that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, spotlighting is exciting. I mean, you waste a lot of hours out there at night sitting somewhere waiting, hoping somebody comes by and shines a light on, you know, looking for deer. So,
okay.
But yeah, you look at those are the fun ones. And they got, geez, thousands of hours salmon snaggers just doing everything.
Huh.
Followed a guy off the cliff one night, you know, in the dark, didn't know it was there. You just, you know, I'm not gonna let him get away, kind of a thing. You do, you know, I mean, again, 95% of it, you're alone.
Yeah.
And after a night, you've got two or three guys out there snagging. You know, they got fillet knives. You know, we've had where you recover stolen guns with them. But it's a rush. It's exciting.
Did they ever try to come at you at all?
I had a couple come at me. Not so much weapons, usually hand.
Oh, hand.
Yeah, especially larger people. You know, I just kind of think, I could probably take him. Well, you look at them, they're kind of looking all around you like they're looking for a backup person.
Okay.
You can get that little bit of feel, and you do. It's dealing with people. You can.
Right.
The eye contact, the dog stare, you know, they just stare at you. But they, like the spotlighters at night, one of the things I used to always do, you pull up, you jump out, I always lean over and push the passenger door open.
Okay.
So the dangerous tourists. There's a guy, you know, as you're running to the truck, you'd yell at the guy, cover him. You know?
Oh, really?
So they're looking for the other guy, and there's no other guy. Huh? But by the time they figure it out, you got the guns, and you know, you've got them down to where you want them. So, but yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, dangerous? Yeah, a lot of things are dangerous.
Yeah.
We probably lose more game wardens to traffic accidents than we do, you know.
Yeah. You think it's more dangerous than a policeman or equivalent?
Well, when you get to dangerous, I mean, I wouldn't want to be working in Orange County where every other car is a gangbanger.
Yeah.
And our deal is that half the people we check, you know, hunting season are all armed.
Right.
With firearms, so.
Yeah.
You know, fishermen, most of them have at least a pocket knife,
yeah.
You know, fillet knives, all that kind of stuff. So, and we're always alone. My biggest problem is, you know, your radios.
Right.
They don't always work.
They don't.
Well, you get in these canyons.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's no repeaters and stuff, so.
You're out there alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can fake it. You can talk into your radio all you want. So, but yeah, that kind of stuff. You just, yeah, so, you know, when I was at Oroville, like if we had something, we always had backup.
Right.
There was a couple other units on, or the sheriff, or highway patrol, anybody who was close by. If you call for backup, fish and game, you get out of your call for backup, they don't know where you are. And then if they do, you have a four-wheel drive vehicle to get in.
Yeah. It can take longer, too.
Oh, yeah. And you get, you know, you get up there, like Forbes Town, you know, well, this country on the backside of Forest Hill and stuff. You send a deputy from Auburn.
Right.
First of all, it's 25 minutes to get up there, and then what road? Where are you?
Yeah.
You know, you go to the third dirt road intersection, turn to hard left, you know, and kind of, it's just, and if you're needing backup, it's hard to talk while you're wrestling, you know, grab your radio. All you get is, I'm, you know, what?
This
time. Yeah, so, yeah, it's, yeah, that point is, but, you know, like I said, you get the way the gangs and stuff are going anymore, and then the drugs, I wouldn't want to be a city cop anymore. I think as you get older, it's great because you you lose that. I'm tired of the BS. You know,
the John Wayne.
I don't want to hear all the excuses. Yeah, you know, you screwed up. You're going to jail. Let's go. I don't care about your mama. I don't care about anything else.
Maybe it's because you've heard it so many times that you just kind of get used to.
And it's the same. It's an excuse.
Okay.
You know, Chris made me do this.
Right.
Well, where's your girlfriend now? because you got a pound of meth here, buddy. It's my girlfriend's, or you know, you find it in your pants. Oh, I lent my pants to a friend of mine. What's his name? I don't know. He gave him back. I guess the payment was meth, huh? You know, I mean, that kind of, you just go, I don't even hear it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, they can all be dangerous, and you all have your moments, but,
right.
You know, I think it's that, when you catch them, it's that little bit of high right there.
Right.
You just kind of go,
did some good.
Yeah. You, I mean, yeah, you're keyed up to them. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I just, to me, it's always the chase.
Right.
And when you catch them, it's like, oh, yeah, you're mine.
Yeah.
And usually you can kind of, there's two ways to go. You can, you know, buddy-buddy, I mean, coming in, or you just really just rush them with one person. They just don't know what's going on, especially at night.
Okay.
Bright flashlight in the eyes, and, you know.
Right.
Down on the ground, now. You know, they're just disoriented as quick as you can, get them cuffed, and then you can.
Does it help having been a police officer to get that authority
absolutely.
In your voice?
Not. A couple of wardens I knew that were biologists, real timid.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they'll turn a rock over and watch two bugs do whatever they do for an hour. They're entertained by that. I'm not.
Right.
So, and go putting somebody in cuffs is not a big deal.
Right.
And sometimes they really, well, you know, we're not sure he's going to jail. It doesn't matter. It's officer safety.
Yeah.
Get him cuffed, then you can worry about everything else later. If there's nothing there, you just release him.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's where I noticed a lot of them.
Stay in touch. Anyway, I want to see you.
I think. Verbally, you can talk about anybody, but when it gets to where you just start making circles and it's all BS,
right.
It's time to put the cuffs on. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I noticed, you know, that I was a lot quicker to put the cuffs on.
Because you dealt with it prior.
I mean,
quite a bit.
You know, at the PD, we book people about every shift. We arrested somebody, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you for your lovely jacket.
I love it.
Thank you for you.
All right, let's get it.
Have a great day.
So did you work on like a particular project during your career or just various projects? Like you said, there's dumping in the river.
Well, I first started, I served warrants for the department.
Okay.
So between Fish and Game served their own warrants for years.
Okay.
So, you know, guy, Modoc County, you know, got a ticket and he lived in Sacramento and he didn't show up. They'd send the tickets down here to Rancho Cordova then where our main office was. I would get him, then I'd go look him up.
Oh, you would?
And that was, you know, you talk about handcuffing a lot of people. They booked them all in the warrants. It was kind of fun because, you know, some of them were like $70, no fishing license. I didn't think you'd come get me. Oh, well, we're here. Smile.
So they get booked for
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You book them. Yeah, the real little ones, sometimes I take them down and get a money order.
Oh, okay.
And so someone else there said, hey, we need a money order for $70 and payable to, you know, the Modoc Justice Court, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I'd wait. I'd give them a little bit of time because it was quicker to do that once the warrant was taken care of anyway. But it was quicker to do that to turn around and go to Sac County and book somebody where I could wait an hour to get in there.
Right.
You know, and then an hour to process them. So where I could go to, if it was Placer County, their jail's not as busy, but certainly more efficient. They're really officer friendly. They take them and what do you got? And if there's like seven numbers there, outstanding warrant, check it. Where'd you pick them up? What time? Okay, we got him. Thanks.
So they're more friendly here than in Sacramento?
Seem to be. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Not quite as busy.
Okay.
And they did a lot more of the work, the paperwork. Yet, you know, down there you just fill out this. They just, where'd you get him? His warrant? You got the warrant here? They'd look, oh, we got it. Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay.
Literally could be out of the jail here in 10 minutes. Huh. Downtown, I'd spend an hour and a half at times.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of hard. You're trying to book your guy for, you know, shooting a deer or something out of somewhere with a $1,500 warrant. They got two child molesters in custody and a rapist. And, you know, so you're going to wait a while.
Right. Do you think that they kind of look at your job as though it's not as important? Sometimes,
I don't, you know, when the guys you talk to, most of them would rather do our job.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, like the county, like Sac County, get down and working on the river and stuff, and you're catching these, you know, guys snagging salmon and that kind of stuff. And then if you had somebody to transport the book, I mean, a few times they would like ride bicycles on the bike trail.
Huh.
And then, you know, anybody fishing, you just, we could, now how do you transport them?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on back.
Basket.
You sit on the back seat, yeah. I'm gonna handcuff you to the wheel. Go fast. So, so they come down. They just think it's neater and thumper. Oh man, I wish we could do this. And you know, because they're doing calls, you know.
Right.
And those times too, the abuse cases, husband wife. If one of them didn't prosecute, you just wasted a whole bunch of time there.
Yeah.
Now you show up. I got blood on my face. You go to jail. She hit me. You know. That's it. They got proof. Let's hit back then. You had to be. You had to one of them prosecute. Well, you get there, and like in Oroville, it was. the ma'am, you know, he hits you, looks like half a dozen times. She, oh, but I love him. It's like, oh, jeez. Sober up, please. Get, you know, move on. So, but now it's, that's that. But I think, you know, when you do that as an officer and that's all you're doing, your majority, you get tired.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, here we go again. It's, I'm in Oregon, I could name the kids the houses we went to did that.
Huh.
Okay, you know, Jonathan, Mary, go back to your bedrooms, you know. Got to talk to your mom and dad again. It's been 3 days. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love him. It's like he gets drunk and whoops you every, you know, every Friday night. Yeah. You got to at least leave Friday night. You know, something. Yeah, God. So, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of them will tell you, I won't do your job just because everybody you're dealing with has got a gun.
Oh.
Well, during the hunting season. It's dangerous. I mean, you're alone, too.
Right.
Like, you're up on the hill, you run into resident deputies. Where are you going? Going, you know, well, I'm going to try to make it all the way across, get in Nevada County, and I'm going to hit Sierra County by daylight. You're going all night? Oh, yeah, we got, you know, activity going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's nuts. I ain't going to do that.
Right.
And that's, and they were, the resident deputies did more fish and game work, too.
Okay.
Yeah, especially the ones around here. I mean, we had guys that we'd go talk to, deer season's, you know, always a big one. And, mm-hmm. Hey, this is what we were, they got a deer, they got to have a tag on it. It's got to be punched and filled. If it didn't, you call me.
Okay.
Wherever I am, I'm en route, and I will take care of the problem. And, like, Placer was really good up here.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's more rural, you think?
Yeah, the deputies, you know, a lot of them, there's, I think, percentage-wise, more of them hunt fish.
Okay.
So they see what we're kind of doing.
Right.
Yeah, I've had them, you know, the day before deer season, have, you know, stopped somebody for tail light out or something. They got deer blood in the back, and so they'll call me. I know they held a guy once. I was on the other side of Spenceville. And, you know, 45 minutes before I got here, I had two deputies tied up with the guys, two guys, and shot a deer. And then I ended up following them all the way up past the town of Washington to get the rest of this deer.
But
that's fun, hiking down that canyon. We're 3 a.m, we're down, and we finally found the deer. They dumped it off a cliff. And that's a case I missed, and it hadn't been for the deputies. So, you know, that's, you know, like I said, the deputies around here, you feel pretty fortunate. Because you got to know them pretty good, especially ones either lived out the rural,
mm-hmm.
or the ones the resident deputies, or like Forest Hill, where they get away mm-hmm. from the office a little bit more. You talk to them longer, you know, when you see them. So, Forest Service, same thing. They're LEOs.
Right.
They'd help us out. So, but yeah,
your cooperation.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, well, you know, and it's, I think it's all grunts.
Yeah.
You know, we don't. You have. I'll check with my lieutenant, and then he'll check with the captain. You know, you don't. You just. Hey, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
This is who we got. He's a bad guy. What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
I mean, Jim got a guy up there, shot a turkey out of season. Guy at a bar bragging to another guy at a bar. They heard a guy bragging about it. So we got a search warrant. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, we'll go with it. You know, we ended up. And that's. We got the turkey.
Right.
And you know, then we got their marijuana grown in the basement. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's good to have the deputies there.
Yeah.
The guy had a suspended license, so I waited at the gate on the main roads. When he drove off the road, I'd get him driving on a public road, so he went to jail. License spent. So all of that together, yeah, we had a great day. So, but yeah, those were fun times. Oh, every one of them. It was just, I'll tell you, it was, you look at career fields.
Right.
I mean, I just had a great time.
Yeah.
I'd love to have been an F-4 pilot.
Fishing game pilots?
No, that was in Vietnam.
Oh,
it closed out. We were out of the tie line. They flew all these F-4s, and wow, what a job. Well, then the war ended. It was 73, so I was talking to one of them. He goes, yeah, there's 5,000 pilots. None of us have a job now. The war's over.
Yeah.
So he goes, we won't be hiring pilots anytime soon. So it's kind of like, oh, well, that sucks. That wrecked my plans.
That's a dangerous job, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Find yourself.
Yeah. Just to me, as a youngster, I was like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we knew a couple of them, so I mean, it was fun.
Yeah.
It's something you think about what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere down the line, but yeah.
Something you're good at. Yeah.
Thinking you'd enjoy anyway.
Yeah, enjoy.
So, but yeah, actually, like fishing game just kind of fell in my lap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dad was, you know, in today's world, he'd certainly be a poacher. They always had between a deer and a half, and an elk and a half hanging, and they lived in Colorado. And he said, you know, we never bought beef. We always had wildlife.
Was it more strict back then, though? Was it poaching back in that day, or was it still?
This is going way back to the 40s, you know. And he said he didn't know anybody there that really didn't. He said they caught fish. He goes, I don't ever knew what the fish limit was. You caught enough that you're going to eat that night.
Yeah.
And ducks the same way. He goes, the duck limit, I think it was 25. But see, we'd usually shoot about six, give a couple to the neighbors, and then we'd eat them for like 2 days, and then you'd, you know, go do something else.
Right.
But totally, you know, just entirely different, you know, just your, like you say, your population there, and your wildlife populations too.
Right.
They were really high. You know, I mean, like I said, you look at all these cars and stuff, it just slowly dwindles. Everything dwindles, you know, usually downward.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's
true. I forgot what your question was, so go ahead.
We're still good. Okay, so, how does technology change your job? Obviously, you probably have more better equipment to call on, your radios.
Radios, well, the phones.
Phones.
Phones was one of the big ones, I think, that came on because, I mean, and that's a good bad.
Okay.
One of the things was neat, you get some of these canyons, they couldn't give you the bullcrap calls you didn't want anyway. You just keep working. Well, some of these good phones, they could just call you. Crap, you know, I got five bars, I'm screwed, you know, so. But on the other hand, like farmers and stuff, when you're responding to a call, you could call them directly.
Okay.
So, okay, what do we got? Hey, we got a white pickup. They're in the back of my ranch. There looks like they're headed towards Catlett Road. So you know which way to come in. And okay, hey, can you block the road? Oh, yeah, I'll move a cat. They'll just, you know, put a tractor on the road. And, you know, so then I know the guy's got one. He's got to turn around and go out only one way. Gives you more time,
right,
more information.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you might get, hey, you've got somebody trespassing on his property. Well, I get there because, oh, no, they're shooting, they shot a hen pheasant right in front of us or, you know, something like that. So you give you a lot more information
right
to get to. Computers was the other one. Computers were, I'm not real computer savvy. I mean, I don't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
I just don't want one.
Really?
I don't want people to find me, you know, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But the computer, when you learn enough of it, is great for reports.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that. Back it up. Insert it, you know. And it was neat. You didn't have to spend extra time printing neatly your reports and things.
Okay.
So all of that was pretty neat. But then, it turned into a dumping ground. Where you got the office, you got a couple captains and, you know, other people sitting there and somebody, hey, what's the trout limit at Rollins Lake? Oh,
okay.
We'll email the warden in Auburn, he can call you. Well, that's great, but, you know, I'm not home, and now I get home at 4 in the morning, you want me to call him then?
Yeah.
Maybe he was going fishing, you know, in the book, open the book. They used to, when I was there, with, you know, Rufinock, Sanford, with the captains and stuff, those questions, they, well, hold on, just grab the book, look it up, that was it.
Huh.
It kind of got to be where they just dump everything, instead
right
of looking it up, spending an extra minute with the person on the phone. And then, of course, then you call the guy, oh, God, I've been wanting to talk to you so bad. Hey, where can you go deer hunting? Hey, I hear there's grouse. Where's grouse at? And it just goes on. If I want to catch a striper, where do I go?
Yeah.
And it's not bad talking to him, but it's, you know, half hour later, you're still on the phone.
Uh-huh.
You're going, okay, I got to go somewhere today. I don't know where, but.
Yeah.
So that was good, bad.
So
vehicles.
Positive.
Vehicles were good. I mean,
okay,
you know, we always had, you know, for my district, four-wheel drive trucks. Quad, motorcycle, you know, canoe, boats, you know. So you have a. All that stuff was, you know, snow machines when they first came on. They didn't replace them once they blew up.
Okay.
So you had a lot of stuff that way. I mean, you know, they bought you binoculars, the guns. We went to Glock, which was, I thought, a pretty good improvement. You know, six shooter.
Huh.
We went to 16 bullets.
So you guys carry guns?
Oh, God, yeah. Lots of guns. Usually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Shotgun and rifle in the trucks. And then Glock 40 cal on our hips.
Okay.
And then you get 46 rounds on you.
Wow.
Minimum. And then the other guys, I know they carried secondary firearms and, you know, knives and do whatever you want to carry. But yeah, it's kind of funny because you go in stages of life, you know.
Yeah.
You're a soldier of fortune at first, you know. Where can I get an anti-tank gun? You know, I want something big. And at the end, you're going, okay, pistols, ticket book, and radio. Okay, I'm good. I just want to, because you're moving fast,
yeah,
you know. So, I think you mature more.
Yeah.
Most people you can figure out within a few minutes when you contact them. I mean, you know where it's going to go, if it's going to go anywhere.
Right.
Good guy, bad guy. Guy got caught, you know, or guy wants to fight, guy wants to lie to you. You know, I mean, and you figure, and you just kind of go, okay.
Right.
You kind of take it, and you're going to find out with your daughter as you get older. Wait a minute now.
Sure he doesn't.
yeah, she's already testing the waters, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's kind of funny. I mean, I rode a lot of litter tickets off the motorcycle. And I mean, I'm just like blue jeans, t-shirt, and a fanny pack. Well, the fanny pack had ticket book, radio, I take the antenna off, put it in, handcuffs and my gun.
Uh-huh.
And then binoculars and using my little side pocket. But I'd pull up like guys on the river. I'd look around for someone who threw a beer bottle down, pick it up, and act like I'm drinking it. Well, they just forget about you instantly. They don't know who you are. Some guy drinking beer.
Huh.
Well, you sit back there and you go, oh, okay, it's 11:48. You know, the gal in the gray sweater just threw her beer can in the bushes.
So you didn't wear a uniform?
Oh, no. No, most of the time I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Well, when I went the opposite, I did.
Obviously, it probably helped not having...
A lot of times.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the people that see you in the truck know who you are. I mean, they're going to... Okay. But you always got your ID card and a badge, you know, so... I never had a problem, you know, not identifying myself somebody. I didn't know who you were, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You'd come up on them, you talk a little bit. You know, like those litter tickets, you know. Hey, you guys leaving? You know, and I catch them on the trail somewhere, and I go, oh, by the way, I'm a state game warden, and I need to see your ID, ma'am, and your sir. Where's your beer can? Sir, where's your beer bottle? Oh, I must have left it. I go, yeah, you threw it in the river. And you're right, I just write it on my hand usually. That look right about right time. And you know, if they want to argue, then you just start, well, okay. I said, you went over off that rock and pissed into the river. You want to talk about public urination? No, I just littered. You know, so, because they don't know how long you've been watching them either.
Right.
So, I mean, that, and, you know, a lot of guys, oh, plain clothes, you get more fights and stuff. I never did.
Huh.
Make it real clear right away that they're in trouble.
Right.
You know, shouldn't litter, man. And it's amazing that you write somebody's litter, it's like, yeah, God, I hate litter. I don't know why I did that.
Huh.
I guarantee that'll be the last time they ever litter.
Yeah.
But it's like, because, you know, like, there's some guy standing there, they had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I was in Oroville, I was warden in Gridley, the Butte County warden on the other side, Leonard. I think he, one year, had more drug arrests than the Butte County Task Force. The wildlife area, and it's almost all meth. But he walked, same as us, you know, we'd walk both sides of the river.
Right.
And you know, okay, you got a guy fishing on your side, or, you know, I got a guy on my side, and, you know, you kind of communicate, and he goes, I got some car backed up here, and see a little blue flame on or something, so I'll go talk contact, and pretty soon, hey, can you cross the river? I'm tied up, I got one in custody for, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Out, like I said, out alone a lot, walking a lot. So, yeah, great job.
Yeah, you could be in nature.
Yeah. Yeah, and you really, I mean, it's Easter is Sunday. We're out there, I got my son with me and my friend from Montana. We're at a turkey blind, and the, you know, sun's coming up. It's just fantastic. Birds are chirping, honkers are honking. No turkeys, not a one. And my kid says, oh, yeah, but look, we'd have been home in bed, we wouldn't have seen any of this. You know?
Yeah.
I go, that's right. We can always go home and nap in the afternoon. So, yeah.
A little bonding time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but really, it's kind of funny. He's 27, and like all his friends, he's got one or two that hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are some kind of techno gizzards. They like their computers and X Games. And
yeah.
It's just a real different, that I see anyway. And it's funny, we're doing some kind of work, mow the lawn or something. You done, or?
No, I'm just waiting.
Almost done. Yeah. And it's like they don't even know what end of a shovel to use.
Yeah.
It's really different. It's,
yeah. You think generationally people are getting away from hunting more?
I think
sport?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, and part of it's places to go.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was, you know, in high school, got out of high school in 71, you could hunt a lot of places in this hole from here all the way up to Chico in the valley. Nobody cared. Well, now these duck clubs are getting, you know, $1,800, $2,000 a gun in a four-man blind. So they'll get, you know, $6,000 to $8,000 for that blind, and they don't want nobody else walking through their ranch shooting, you know, bumping birds out of the way. So as kids, we never seemed to have that problem. Just a few places that said no, and it was fine.
Was it more for food back in the day rather than the sport?
For us, it was all sport.
Was it both?
Yeah.
Okay.
We ate, well, we killed some, we ate it, but it was just being out there.
Okay.
Yeah. Seeing who could out call who, duck calling, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, but it's changed. I think the last year I coached Little League, I coached Little League for 9 years. I had 13 kids on the team, and seven of them were with one parent or grandparents.
Yeah.
And that was one of the biggest differences I saw. And a lot of them were, there was always a battle between the two parents. The exes were, well, you were supposed to pick him up, you were supposed to drop him off, or, you know, we don't get involved in any of this. Just get the kid here on time. When we're done, have someone pick him up, please. So, and I think that's been one of the, because my son's friends, a lot of his friends that don't hunt, fish, or anything, they're almost all single parents.
Huh.
So you got a time thing there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you go to school, you do this, you come home, well, we're done. You got two of you there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm taking junior fishing or hunting or whatever. And I think you get more of that with the double parent. You know,
okay.
The two parents, it just seems to work out. There's a couple of his friends that do have two parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a difference that made, but
right.
It seems to make a difference.
So you took your son hunting at a young age?
Yeah, he passed his hunter safety at 10.
Okay.
So, before I take him with me, he just couldn't carry a gun. I took him a few times to carry his BB gun. So he'd feel like he's part of the hunt.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he's gotten to the point now he really enjoys it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like when we go, there's no cell phones.
Right.
Same with fishing.
Okay.
That crap from outside. You know? We're here on our own.
Right.
Join. We'll get home when we get home. You know, kind of thing. So yeah.
All right. So you have to travel a lot for your work. Do you spend most of your time traveling in your vehicles and?
Well, when I was last working, 80 was my from the valley up to 80, basically to here, and then the North Fork American River all the way to Pacific Crest Trail, all the way across Placer, Nevada County to Sierra, Plumas County, all the way back down. So yeah, you're 400 plus square miles.
Yeah.
So, but it depends what you're doing. Sometimes I put the motorcycle in the truck, drive up to Truckee, park the truck, and then take the bike and check all the upper lakes, check the rivers, you know. So you're out all day, but you're traveling, but it's, you know, you're getting off the bike, getting back on the bike, getting on the bike, getting off. And other times like the Bear River down here, when the salmon come up, you hide your truck, so, you know, people are, ooh, but game warden's here, we might not want to snag fish today. And then you end up walking, you may walk for 4 hours, turn around, have to come back. Which is always good, because there's people come in behind you. So it knows you're walking, but I mean, it's not like it's a track meet. You got to get somewhere. And you sit there, and where else can you? I mean, bald eagle. You sit there watching eagle in your binoculars for 5 minutes, you know, watch him fish a while. So, and if you run into people, you know, you do your contacts. So, yeah, your travel is a lot of times just getting somewhere to work.
Right.
Or if you take your boat, you know, Tahoe. You know, I mean, you're an hour and a half to get up there plus, and by the time you get on the water, it's 2 hours. And then you can be on the water, depends on the weather. You can be there all day or half a day, get blown off the lake. In those days, you know, it's the holidays. Larry Parkinson and I, he was Nevada County Warden before he retired. We'd start like Upper Scotts Flat and hit Spalding, go to Rollins Lake, and then camp far west all in one day. Well, it's about a 16-hour day by the time you're done.
Wow.
So you're traveling, but you know, then you're also knocking 3 or 4 hours off on each lake on the boat, checking fishermen. So
it does not haul in the vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can travel. You know, I mean, well, you can get on Folsom Lake and spend half a day.
Right.
So you know, that's relatively short area.
Is that one of your more favorite parts? Is being on the boat or hiking?
I like the walking.
Do you like walking?
It's hard for them to see you. They don't hear you, don't hear a car, you know. I mean, they see boats on the water. You know, and then one of my blessings as a warden, I always had really good lieutenants. I mean, if you have a good lieutenant, that's night and day.
That
was it. But you hear guys at the training functions, every other year you have your post training, you got to have 24 hours updates and stuff. And some of these guys are just miserable.
Really?
Yeah, we went warden to lieutenant. We have no sergeants or anything.
Okay.
So. Your chain of command. Well, my lieutenant, I think he had between 5 and 7 of us, so he had a huge area.
Right.
But if you worked, but you saw him when you turned all your paperwork in at the end of the month, so he knew you were working.
Huh.
He didn't have to worry about you. Well, some of these guys were just constantly, what'd you do? Where your daily doesn't show where you were at this time. Well, my dailies were, you know, half the time, I don't know if I was in the same county, because I'd write them usually at the end of the week, do my mileage log. You know, and tickets were great, because you'd always look at your ticket, ooh. 7 in the morning, I was at Boca Reservoir. Okay, I remember now. So, I mean, it wasn't real important to me.
Right.
And it was, but I tried not to create problems for him either.
Right.
So those were, you know, you worked and went everywhere you wanted to go, and good boss makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You get someone that's, you know, literally chicken shit in every little thing you do, but then what happens to your morale?
Yeah.
I piss on them, I ain't going.
Yeah.
It's 5:01, my 8's done, you call someone else. So our squad was pretty good. If you know, the after hours, it's the other thing with the states, they put a phone in your house because your office is out of your home.
Right.
So, you know, if it rang, I'd get up and answer it. If it rings at 2 in the morning, great. And I mean, I've had those calls where, hey, someone spotlighted or just shot or something. I've also had calls, obviously leaving a bar. Yeah. Hey, what's the problem with it? Well, then you'd pull me up. Leave your message at the beep. You know? Hang up. I'm not going to argue with a drunk. But yeah. So. Yeah, it's...
And you work such odd hours, too.
All the time,
so,
yeah,
imagine it's hard.
Well, like duck season, you get up, same thing, you get up 3 or 4 in the morning, you go out and work duck hunters. Well, by 10 o'clock, the ducks are done flying.
Right.
A lot of times you go home, go back to bed, get up at 3, and then go work late shooters.
Huh.
And then in the fall, it's the same time. And in the fall, you got everything going. You got duck season, pheasant season, you got salmon in the streams. You got your bear hunt, you got your deer hunt season, you got squirrels, you got, you know... mountain quail, valley quail, you got just this ton of it. So it's really, you go, okay, where I haven't been,
yeah,
where have I been before that I've been successful? And you know, and then you pull out, okay, I know these two idiots and I know where they're going to be, or I know the area they hunt anyway, so Yeah, it's just, and then you got guys hunting pigs now. Pigs were just getting big when I retired.
Yeah, on episode but, about the pigs.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's turned into an all-night thing now, too.
That, yeah.
Yeah, so when I was in Butte County, like my wife said, she goes, I can't believe it took so long for duck season to end. God, you were never, because you're like, you're never here. Well, we had a quad in the back of the truck. You just took off, parked your truck, and on your quad. From Gridley, I mean, I'd end up a lot of times in Glynn County by afternoon.
Right.
Just because you're here shooting. Well, let's go find out who's shooting, what they got. And like I said, most of them are pretty legit, but you always find the ones. Oh, now we're geared to really go. So, yeah, and if you have good wardens around you, big difference.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, because then everybody's working. If you got a piss poor one, then you're always covering their calls. Where is he? I don't know. Crap, you're thinking, and it's usually the calls pollution or something. You know it's going to be time consuming and take you away from something you wanted to really do. So someone else would call it, good guy, oh, really good guy. You want to promote him? He's the guy. And it sounds good because you get rid of him.
Yeah.
But in 10 years, they're writing policy. Uh-huh. They're captain somewhere. You're going, oh, man, screwed again.
He's your lieutenant.
I knew this wasn't going to work too good. some of the big policy things we laugh about, the hats. Hats were a big thing for years, different shaped hats for whatever reason. And then we always had either black or brown boots, little things, but where you wore brown in the summer, they don't show the dust. Black shiny boots do, Someone changed only black boots, they thought it was a real big deal.
Yeah.
Oh yes, we made this, to make us more uniform. I said, more uniform? We never see each other.
Yeah.
And every year they get a different bid on the trucks. So you're either driving a Chevy, a Dodge, a Ford. So I said, uniform, we'd all have the same truck. So sometimes I really, you got to question what goes on in what we call the ivory tower downtown. Come on, guys, give us some help. Don't worry about our boots,
Yeah.
And I was working duck hunters once. I had hip boots on. I wear them all day because you're in the mud.
Yeah.
And they called to see if I'd go in the office for something. I show up in the office, so I got my hip boots on. And there's one of the visiting captain, another air company, goes, you're disgusting. I wouldn't have a guy in my squad look like you. And I look out at his car, not even a four-wheel drive. It's all shiny. He's all shiny. I go, I don't need people like you in my life.
Yeah,
I say, if you want, I'll dress like you and never check a person.
Yeah.
And you'll be happy. Where I work, I got mud. So that,
that's why you're working there and he's working.
And you look at some of his people and you say, I can see why they're that way.
Yeah.
They don't get dirty because, they're going to worry he's going to say something.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have stuff like, your truck's always muddy.
Yeah.
And maybe because I drive in the mud every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hint there. Windows were always clean. I cleaned those so I could see out, But it's like, boy, in the mountains in the summer, you got 18 inches of dirt in some of those roads. It just boils,
Yeah.
And then somebody, your truck's dirty. Yeah. Now, if you want, I get home, I can spend 2 hours every day, cleaning the whole darn thing out.
Yeah.
But let's be sensible. It's in the winter, it's going to be muddy.
Yeah.
We don't stay on Highway 80.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the guy you promoted 10 years ago that you didn't want. So it's like, boy. So, some of that stuff, you just wonder, where are you?
Bureaucracy.
Yeah. This is what you worry about.
Yeah.
You don't worry about getting this, some extra people to help, like deer season and stuff like that. That used to be the big thing. Deer season, you got all the guys from the coast, they'd come over. You'd flood the hills up here. You'd have 15 wardens where you just might want.
Oh, okay.
And then, it costs money and travel and, gas and motels. And so I look at that and I go, so now the resource is worth a dollar.
Right.
You're putting too many dollars, we can't have extra people.
Yeah.
Same with abalone. When abalone, a lot of guys would go work abalone.
Nope.
For the 3-day tides, because you have thousands of people on the coast.
Right.
And if nothing else, that many people over there keeps most people pretty honest.
Yeah.
When you never see a warden, you're thinking,
Yeah.
I got my first three, let's go get three more. So it comes down somewhere. You got a bean counter somewhere that finally says, no more.
Right.
But the other frustrating is when I retired, I think there was 199 wardens in the field. We had 126 supervisors. I mean, I knew I needed help, but it gets to the point you're going, okay. But we got four more in the office. Great.
Reminds me of Office Space.
Yeah. How many arrests you guys make in the office down there? You have that many bodies. But so that kind of stuff. You kind of, I don't know. The day I retired was even a good day. I mean, to me, it was like I was still having fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a big controversy on your website about how much wardens get paid.
Mm-hmm.
How I think they make less than CHPs.
Oh yeah.
And just how that's kind of an issue that they want to address and try to.
Well, it's the whole time I was on, we're going to get the big raise next year. Oh, we're going to get the big raise. But I left Orville PD, which is a little PD, and took less money coming to fishing game. So I never, I didn't look at it like I'm going to get rich.
Okay.
A lot of things like, well, court time. If I had court on my days off, like they scheduled a jury trial for Tuesday, Wednesday. So I had to take 2 days off during the week before then because they won't, you know, you don't get paid overtime.
Oh, you don't get paid overtime at all?
Very little.
Okay.
It has to really be justified. But for court, you take that time off, you show up, and then the guy pleads guilty. So then I got to work those 2 days or lose the time. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. Where Highway Patrol rides, you know, you run the stop sign, they go to court, they get 4 hours at time and a half, no matter what. And that's some of the arguments. But, you know, like I tell them, I said, when's the last time you saw a Highway Patrolman fishing undercover on the Truckee River?
Yeah.
I do that. That's how I get my, you know, time and a half back.
But it's nice because you could see both sides, because you were the PD and then you switched.
So, I mean, you know, it's when you took the job, you kind of knew what.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, pay was never, you know, it's, and some of it, like one year that, you know, everybody's one of those years they were pretty fat on the budget. And the legislature told us, well, if you wait a year, we're really going to make it up to you. You know, union, they came to us, and they go, no, you take what you can get now while everybody else is getting it. Because what happens if there's an earthquake or something next year? Well, it was the year of the San Diego fires. All the extra money, we never got a raise. So, you know, that kind of thing. And I think, okay, that's kind of our fault.
Yeah.
We should have said no. Everybody else got the raise but us. Oh, wait till next year. Well, you know, next year it sometimes doesn't come. So. And you know, then and when you do that too, wait till next year. You got a lot of wards that might have been retired, and that extra year, you know, pay—that's pretty good pay for the rest of their life. So you kind of hold that back, you know. And I always thought, hey, if you can get it today, get it today.
Yeah.
Next year, those promises are, you know, especially with legislatures. Come on.
Once again.
Yeah. So.
All right. So let's see. So would you recommend this job to somebody, the fish and game warden?
You know, for me, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to be self-driven.
Yeah.
You just have to be. You can do almost nothing and make it look like you're doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person, you're hurting yourself, but you're really hurting wildlife.
Right.
And I mean, I've had people tell me, Jesus Christ, what are you doing down here in Lincoln? It's pheasant season. You checked my fishing license in Tahoe 2 days ago. So, I mean, that word, I mean, it kind of gets out. Wherever you're at, you got to be kind of careful. And the ones that don't work, it doesn't take long, the word no. That people know. Oh, God, yeah. Because all the guys that are hunting, especially like the duck clubs and stuff.
Right.
You check a duck club, you check a club a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I heard you were at the Cameron Club Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Well, especially now with cell phones. Everybody's got a cell phone. But, yeah, and then, you know, they'll say, well, hey, we're so-and-so. We've never seen him out here. I mean, you know, they communicate.
Word of mouth.
Yeah. Oh, big time. So you've got to, if you're going to get someone who's got to get this job, I've had 3 or 4 ride-alongs that actually became wardens. And you can tell a lot of it just their questions.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy just shows no interest or why do we do this, I'm not going to recommend it for anything.
Right.
Yeah. We've had, you know, and it's changed. And I don't know, it's always going to be the old, you should have been here 25 years ago. When I replaced Fred Brown and Gridley, he says, oh man, 25 years ago, we never even had timesheets. We just went to work. And, you know, when I first started, we didn't get time and a half. You just got a straight time.
Right.
And it was great because nobody cared. Oh, well, we got to pay them an hour and a half and only worked an hour. Then it's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And they start putting the brakes on. It's like, you get up, well, like the Butte Sink there, when the birds come in, I mean, you may have fields that yesterday had nothing, today they have 10,000 widgeon in them.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about a day to work to get around.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had them out there 10 o'clock at night shooting them in their headlights.
Yeah.
So I mean, you don't go home. I mean, literally you go home and shower and sleep maybe, make a couple sandwiches and take off again.
Yeah.
But you're writing tickets and your ward from Chico's helping you. And the guy over here, and it's just, you know, I mean, we just did so much of that and nobody questioned it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, did you get prior approval from your lieutenant? No. You know, I got the call, I'm here. And that's where I think you come back in, you have a lieutenant that's a warden first. And, you know, a lot of them, I don't, you know, you got them wherever, they're worried about what some boss is going to say. Well, if you do the right thing, let the boss say what he wants to say.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line is, are you out there doing anything for wildlife? Either arresting people or just let people know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that little bit of buffer zone to protect them. Keeps people, like I said, most people have a tendency to be honest.
Right.
You know, after a while, it's like, you know, one more bird ain't gonna hurt, you know, kind of a thing. But they think they're gonna get checked.
They'll be more willing to not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would drive up up Highway 49, Highway 80 at 100 miles an hour if I knew there were no chippies. But knowing there's one with radar, I don't want to give the state $300. I drive at speed limit. Yeah, it's that simple. So if there were no chippies out there, I'd be all over that road.
It's good to know.
Buy me a fast motorcycle. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Knowing that you turn a corner and the radar gun's already got you, it's like, okay, try to speed up, put it on cruise.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Nothing short of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's a little grocery store up there, Chicago Park store. Stopped in there one afternoon. Oh, heard you were down the river. You wrote so-and-so a ticket. And the next morning, you wrote so-and-so a ticket, fishing the stream close stream. So, I mean, even the store guy knows. And I haven't talked to anybody.
Yeah.
So it's the bad guys telling people that, oh, Christ, he was there at night. And then the next day, oh, no, he was there the next morning. Caught me at daylight. So, yeah. But, yeah, you're going to recommend someone to do that. You've got to have somebody that'll do it.
Yeah.
And it's, quite honestly, that a lot of the kids I see that are somewhat interested, they don't hunt or fish, so they're half a step behind.
Huh.
They just don't realize what they're really checking.
Okay.
No, they don't. You know, the games that are played. And, you know, you go back to my father's time, party hunting like for deer was real common.
Huh.
There's eight of us, let's get eight deer. One guy shoots four, that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll tag them, you know. So it's that education comes up, and you got to have people that know that. I mean, they'll walk into a camp, and who shot that one? That one, that one, and that one, you know. And my wife shot that one. Oh, well, opening day, she steps out of the tent, she still has curlers in her hair. She shot it, you know, 2 miles that way. You know? And they, okay. Oh, no, that's not okay. I've had that happen.
A little Johnny.
Yeah. She just walked out of the tent, and there it was. You know? Where'd you shoot it, huh?
Awesome.
Head, left, heart? Come on, you're going to go show me your gut pile. Oh, yeah, this kind of stuff's that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's, I would recommend it, but it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you, May, I'll be married 38 years.
Yeah.
So, you got to have a wife that understands
it. Feels the calls. And
well, you know, a lot of social things. You ain't going to be there.
Yeah.
You're working weekends. And so, I mean, you really had to schedule something ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, third Friday, you know, so-and-so's having a party. We're going to go. Okay. Just go and get this worked in. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that, and that makes it. It's because you're, you know, it's not an 8-to-5 job.
Right.
And, you know, and weekends when everybody else is off, like 3-day weekends, and, you know, we're,
yeah,
you're out there. That's when the sheep are there. You got to shear them when they're there. So you're out full balls to the wall going wherever you can hit them, you know, for 3 days. Literally, you know, 24-hour work day, you're probably going 60 hours or more. You claim you're 24, but yeah, you're going well over 60.
So you're a little bored now that you're retired?
No.
No?
You know, I haven't been, full moon's the only thing that bothers me. I love to work full moons.
Oh, okay.
No lights on your vehicle, you know, work these nights, but otherwise, no.
No.
Not at all. No, 25 years was plenty.
Yeah, and your wife's probably happy.
Yeah, she's, well, maybe. That's 50-50, yeah. Depends how you catch her. But yeah, it was fun. I'll tell you, it was just fun.
Yeah.
But I could tell when I getting older. When I retired, when I was 50. But you could tell if you had to hit somebody, you know, your hand hurt for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Where before, it never hurt at all. It's like, ow, man, my knuckles are really sore. That little stuff. You know, you fall somewhere and you bang your knee up. Well, a week later, it's still sore.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you laugh about it when you're 25, but not so much when you're 50.
Yeah. A little fall can break something.
Oh, Jesus, you know. And it's well, they say it's a young man's game, and it really is.
Is it?
You know, and if nothing else for that, bounce back time.
Okay.
So, but still, it was fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Good.
So, yeah.
Positive experience. All right. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you want to cover?
Well, not that I can think of. Like I said, it was probably, for me anyway, the best career field to make.
Huh.
That would have been.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something, you know, I actually went in the Air Force to be a weatherman.
Okay.
It was one of the things the military does. And say, well, once you wait 3 days, you know, you'll turn 18, you can party with your friends, then start. Go to the military and you expect to go to school and they go, oh, you waved at. I didn't wave it. Oh, yeah. You said you wanted to party or something for 3 days. I go, no, you asked me. So, you know, you learn early.
Yeah.
So you never know how life's going to go. But
right.
Yeah. I'm surprised I lived this long. That's probably one of the, you know, kind of the things you do. But
yeah.
Yeah. It's it was, if you can work alone,
right,
which some people have a lot of problems with, it's really a good job. Really a good job. And no direction, hopefully from a boss or very little. You know, there's always something you can use here and there. But
are you hungry?
Yeah, I had a great run. I really did.
You need to have a certain type of personality to work that job too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You got to be
part biologist, you know, kind of to know, understand the whole cycle of life. You've got to certainly be assertive though.
Right.
That's where you sometimes run into a problem. Any law enforcement background helps, because a lot of your contacts are going to be arrested, taken to jail, or most of them you give a citation to, but you always got that person that wants to, you know, push the limit. And then the drugs, you know, that your hands are tied, that's a felony, you're gone. So, but yeah, it's like going to the grocery store, you got a real friendly clerk, you always go to her, you got someone over there won't say it to you, avoid them. It's the same, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I think did a lot of public speaking.
Huh.
You know, the CSRS groups, the women's clubs, Rotary Lions, they all want to know what you do, how you do it. They don't know what we do for the most part.
Right.
So you got bear leagues and animal leagues you talk to. So you've got, like I said, you've got a really wide spectrum to cover.
Right.
But the bottom line is you want to arrest the bad guy. It's that simple. It really is.
Bad guy or gal.
Exactly.
Mostly guys, though.
Well, you know, for a long time it was, but you'd be surprised how many women are involved.
Huh.
I mean, you don't think, and a lot of it is, I mean, you know, the boyfriends, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you want to get good information. Find a girlfriend that's broke up with your boyfriend. Oh, I had great search warrants. I mean, good cases. Ex-wives, oh yeah. And you just, you know, casually bump into him. Well, I knew you were a boyfriend. You know? Oh, that SOB, he hated you. Oh, really? I heard he's a big deer poacher. Yeah, every Tuesday night when he drives home from work, they spotlight his throat. So that's where you are next Tuesday night. Oh, yeah. It's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Incredible. And it's, but it went both ways.
Yeah.
Women aren't, most of the women I had dealt with that were violated, most of those were like no fishing license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not really, you don't want to call them an outlaw, you're really stretching it. I mean, we actually tried at one point to approach on your taxes, everybody $1 on your taxes, and it goes to fishing licenses, so nobody in the state has to buy a license. We'll save, look how much time you spend checking licenses.
Right.
But what you could do, you could just stand back and watch. Let's see if they catch a fish, what they do with it. You got a short bass, they walk down 20 feet, put it in a paper bag, hide it in the rocks. Now if you went down just to check licenses, you'd have never seen that. But it's good revenue, so I mean, you got to check them. So we tried to get that, the only license you have is for a non-resident. So if you saw like a Nevada license plate, somebody fishing, you go check, you know, kind of a thing. But some of the stuff like that you wish would have happened but didn't.
Yeah.
And that would have been a real saver for time.
You think it might have made more people want to go over a limit though? Do you think people would be aware of the limit that they didn't get?
No, I think what it does, it gives us a better shot to work those people though. Because, I mean, most of the guys, even the poachers are going to buy a license.
Right.
Well, when I was working here, it was $690 with a penalty, just short of $700. So once the word's out, you buy a fishing license.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to check them, then like I said, you can sit back like for a litter. You know, guy's drinking a beer, always watch to see where that cup is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's almost done. Let's see what it does with that can when it's empty. I've had a guy smash it, put it back in your crib. Great.
Yeah.
Better guy smash it, look around and flip it into the water. Also great, because you're going to go tag him. So,
also, you know, great.
Yeah, it's a win-win. You know, you can't lose.
Well, do you see that now as a retired warden?
I see some.
And
yeah.
Does it
bug? Oh, bugs the bejesus out of me. It really does.
Does it?
Makes me want to fight. Yeah. I usually go up and say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because someday I hope to bring my grandkid down here, and that effing beer bottle you just threw there is going to be broken. He's going to step on it. Let's pick it up. Dude, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do well with litter.
Yeah.
Litter's always been one of my, I'll spend the time around a litter today, especially dumping truckloads of crap, you know? Just lazy.
Yeah.
It's $12 at the dump. Well, it could be a little bit more higher here.
Yeah, especially in rivers.
Oh, well, you know, they trail. You know, they'll back up to a trailhead and dump a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So everybody gets to walk around their old couch and stuff. You know, that's just not right.
Yeah, it's not.
It can make you angry in a hurry.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like I said, I had a good time.
Okay. All right.
You're done anyway.
An hour and a half.
Good.
9 minutes.
Oh, geez.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Wade.
Nice meeting you.
Love it.